Listen and stream the only talk radio, Freedom 106.5, for the only talk that matter.
26 and a half after 7. Well, as we usually do, as we've been doing since probably the beginning of the year, every Friday at this time, we allocate to picking apart this thing called our culture, our country. And as I've said to you, we are going to broaden the discussion. Much of what we've spoken about thus far has dealt with carnival-related soca artists, calypso, pan and mass and all those things. But I'm firmly of the opinion that this country has so much more to offer. And we need to find out why much more is not being put on the plate for the international community and probably even for some of us here at home. And in that vein, this morning, we welcome to our program persons who are going to tell us a bit about the local rock industry, if I get that correct. Let me welcome to our program this morning, speaking about our country, our culture, our local rock music as a viable product outside of carnival. Let me say hi and good morning to Sean Young Wing. Good morning to you.
Good day, Satish.
Nice to have you with us here this morning. I'll give everybody the opportunity to tell us more about themselves. Let me just introduce them. Shivan Saran, Lynchpin band leader.
Sivan.
And Mateen Man Mohan, project officer, Trinidad Tobago Music Company Limited.
Good morning.
Nice to have three of you gentlemen with us here this morning. This morning we are talking about something that I don't think enough attention is given to in the country. And that's the variations that we have in culture.
Agreed.
Because all of this makes up who we are, and it becomes the whole. But it's not necessarily given, as I said, the prominence, the discussions, and all those things. So as I do with most of my guests, I give them the opportunity to familiarize my listeners with them and some of what they're involved in. So we set the stage for the discussion moving forward. Let's who wants to begin?
Start off with the government.
So yeah, good morning. My name is Marte. I've actually been a practitioner in the music industry, in the rock industry, for about 20 years, playing in different bands, as an engineer and as a producer more recently. I've studied music and culture pretty extensively throughout my educational career, and I've been working at the Trinidad and Tobago Music Company for about 4.5 years. I'm personally responsible for the live music district and the music technology platform. So I have tried to push the inclusion of the rock community within our mandate at Music TT, and I think I've been successful. Sivan's group has benefited from funding from one of our programs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and that's just basically me.
Okay, let's move on.
He's a very good producer.
Yeah,
okay. Very. Sivan Susaran, Lynchpin. We are maybe one of the heavier bands in the Caribbean. We push original music. That's one of our mantras. You know, write your own music, record your own music, perform your own music. We very much believe that music is a subculture in the country, a really small nano culture, but a very big culture that we have down there. One of the things that I think we really fight for is having that voice, that equality of music. As Martin knows, we had we've for a while now been trying to get that voice there, and we were lucky enough to have Marty for about 4 years within the capacity of our Music TT to work with. But the struggle with rock music, and us being one of the extreme end of rock music, is that you don't see that support coming out at all from government, other than what we experienced with Music TT.
Yeah.
And it's because of a personal relationship between Marty and most of the rock community that he's able to pull those strings to help like a subculture of Trinidad that is never noticed. I mean, like, I'm Sean Young Wing. Mm-hmm. I've been involved in the rock music scene since 1992, actually. I'm also a recording engineer, live engineer, producer, videographer. So I have a company called SYW Media that I try to do at least a couple music videos and so forth to help other artists, up-and-coming artists especially. right? But overall, this team of people here, like, Sivan is great at promotion, and that is where a lot of, I think that's where the government the biggest downfall is in terms of promotion, you know, and Marte had a team of other individuals in the rock community, and they started a promotional company called GSD Productions, which was great, and it got a lot of notice for the rock community in Trinidad. So, I mean, kudos to these guys, man.
I think also, when you hear rock music in Trinidad, you know, automatically all these stigmas jump in. You know, you hear Devil Thing, that's the normal one, and then after that you start to hear the nonsense, you know, drug, sex, and rock and roll. And I always lean back on that immediately. I say, well, you say that, but yet still, you know, in the culture, just our culture, Trinidad culture, have jab jabs and soca, that fet culture. When you go to a rock show, it feels as though you're going into what we call the underground. You know, you have to go, you have to know people to enter. You know, you only hear about it if you know people. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the problems that we're having in Trinidad. That, and I'll give a very uncanny statement. I remember we did communicate with the Ministry of Culture a while back when we were leaving to go Germany and then Cuba. And the response coming out of that, because we wanted to meet our minister. Anytime we travel, we try to always meet like the ambassadors for countries. And we right. said, it would be good if we meet our minister too. And I remember they said, well, rock music is not an indigenous sound of Trinidad and Tobago. And I didn't understand that statement, that we have four members, well, now five members, who are Trinidadian, playing rock music in a band that's doing big things in the country. I think that is the focal point.
Mm-hmm.
It is a very hard situation where you have bands that really put out a lot of their money. I mean, yeah, as you said before the show, we talked about soca artists and chutney artists having it hard. I was like, well, just take a step back and think about how it is for rock bands. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have any sort of Trinidad promotional aspects that come to that. When you hear Carnival, you don't associate rock music, which I still debate. I don't know why. And when you think about, and you know, I mean, even though the little snicker there is true, is you wonder why, and they say, well, because Carnival is soca and chutney. I was like, well, why? You know, why isn't it? It's really because of what we want portrayed, what we want to export.
Yeah.
You know,
the discussions that we've had over the several months, I've spoken to a lot of people in the industry, in various forms, producers, artists, promoters, you name it, but all of those have been surrounding Carnival, one way or the other. They were all involved in that thing called Carnival. Some of them branch off and that kind of thing. And even in planning this show, I'll say, because it highlights how little people know about this entire fraternity and what they're involved in, and mm-hmm. some of the great work that has been done. The production team was taken aback. And not because they were against the idea, but it's simply because they didn't know mm-hmm. about what existed and where to begin to find guests. And it just so happens that I have a relative who's actively involved in the entire fraternity. And he was the one who told me about Germany, and we'll get to Germany and what transpired there with our representatives from the Ministry of Culture and all of that kind of thing, because I really think we need to highlight that.
We don't talk about the Holocaust. I was like, oh, I did not study that.
And because of that, I realized to myself that as Trinidad and Tobago, we have so much more that we're not tapping into.
Yeah.
So how vibrant, for people who are listening in to us and might be shocked that, well, what I'm talking about on the radio this morning, I have no idea, no clue. How vibrant is this community in Trinidad and Tobago?
Extremely.
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely, and I can tell you statistically, when just looking at it from a stateside, we did aid a good few rock promotional companies doing events, and the kind of feedback and attendance numbers that we get from those compared to some of the other non-traditional music in Trinidad is the rock community is the highest numbers, you know. We're looking at some of these shows had 400-500 people at these shows, you know. And this is just an average show on a Saturday night, you know.
Yeah.
Compared to, I mean, if we look at some of the other genres, we're looking at, I can tell you, if the hip-hop industry, we were seeing 20, 30 people coming to events that were heavily promoted with huge marketing budgets.
And I mean, just touching on that, the rock community promotion is rural promotion. It's literally...
Yeah, it's grassroots.
Full grassroots. You know,
out of pocket.
Yeah, out...
personal pockets.
Actually, no pocket. It is, you create flyers, you put online, share. People trying their best to... You know, you have like groups of people who look after certain sects. So you have like the central sect, the south sect, the east sect. And what happens is that crews come and they always come out for shows. You try to link shows together. So, I mean, when we have shows, somebody will always mess and say, hey, we're having a show in 2 weeks from now. You mind if we promote us? Like, go right ahead. I mean, the idea is you're getting free promotion of the people that day. And in the rock community, you don't hear much radio ads. You don't hear CTV ads because you just can't afford that, you know. And sponsorship, because of the stigma, you know, you get that fiber. Well, a rock show. I wouldn't mention the company name, and I would say that company should try to align with a band like us. We and them should be a synonym. But they would always say, well, you know, for a rock show, that'll make sense. But they'll go and promote a very small fet gladly because the word soca is involved. And they just don't see the viability of rock bands.
Can that amount of discrimination?
I wouldn't jump to discrimination. I would actually go on the line of miseducation.
Right. I think we have been, you want to answer this?
No, you go ahead.
Well, basically, I think we have, as a country, been brainwashed into thinking that if you don't like soca, you are not a Trinidadian or you are anti-Trinidad. But the whole thing about it is that we have also been, I think we killed soca, and this is what I'm going to say, this could turn a lot of heads and get me some flack, but we killed Kaiso, we killed Rapso for soca. Because all of these other genres that were around for many years suddenly got pushed back because everybody was trying to promote soca and push soca down everybody's throat. And it's unfortunate that in a country, let's say like Jamaica, you have reggae, you have dancehall, you have all these other genres coming out of a country, but yet we are so focused on one that everything else doesn't matter. And that is why when you talk about rock music, no one listens, because if it's not soca, it's not Trinidad.
Just to jump, as you said, it's like I feel like getting triggered. When you go and you talk to like, I mean, I'm a rock person. I only listen to rock and roll. I'm a metalhead. That's my life. I don't listen to soca and stuff like that. I never grew up on that for me. And when you listen to soca stations, you know, you can see that they promote our own, but our rock stations don't. Now, they have two sides to that coin. Maybe more artists locally need to record, and we need to also have, and they have this in the Caribbean where we should have a certain amount of radio airplay should be local. You know, we so very quick to promote Taylor Swift and whoever else they have out there. Struggle to get a name there in my head. But when it comes to local, we always look down on it. And the only time we praise it is when something good happens.
Yeah.
Bungie Garland is a good example, I think, if we use somebody from the soca realm. You wouldn't hear about Bungie Garland in Trinidad as much, and then suddenly he was in Coachella. Suddenly he's the greatest thing ever. And that shows, how did he reach there? We didn't pay for that, but we will put them up on the pedestal and hold them on our shoulders now. And that with rock music, a lot of times we feel like that, you know, you'll hear a praise coming out from other people, but how did we reach there? There's no care. There's not many sponsors. We had a sponsor come to us actually the other day to help us with our fundraiser for the Gold Canada, and he said he doesn't want it. He's given us straight up. This is a donation. He doesn't need advertising or anything. Why? Because he loves rock music and he thinks that we deserve that.
Yeah, but isn't that tax deductible also for a company?
Yes, yeah. Technically, funding a community and an arts-based
I mean,
entity.
We don't have to quote exact that.
Yeah.
I remember
but
it was.
Yeah, so, but the entity has to be registered with the artist registry, and it's
a lot of people.
Yeah, it's a lot of.
I think we have somebody on the phone. Let's see who this is. Hello, good morning.
Good morning,
Satish. Hi,
good morning. Good morning to your guest there. I was just wondering, in the other days of social media, can rock music be promoted via the platform? I'm not gonna, because you see, it's easier. I remember when I was in school, you will get more young people involved in rock music. And I don't know if you all can target back and see. You tend to get that gravitation from the youth towards it. And after, maybe when you finish school, or maybe when you end some of your friendship with some of your friends because of a hectic lifestyle, you kind of morph away from it. I just want to hear you all take on it, because I guarantee you, if you were to go into some of those schools, you would see a lot of children listening to rock music, as it was in my time when I left school back in 2010. Okay, I'm not going to listen.
Okay, thank you so much for your call.
Right, so let me try and take that as much as I can. I'm heavily into social media, and social media is algorithm-based. That means that the more people react to a product or a post, the more attention I will gain. But if you have a community that is listening to dancehall and you post something if you post something rock, the attention that it will get is so minute that it doesn't have the opportunity to spread to a wider audience, because it has already been pushed back. Because if, let's say, I make a post on Marshall Montano, for instance, that post could get, let's say, 10,000 views in 10 minutes. If I post something about something like rock music that the community or does not know about, is going to not gain much attention, so the algorithm is not going to take it and push it out to more people. It's going to sample small groups of people first. So that's the problem with the social media.
As the computer science teacher here too. what he's saying there is viable, but I mean, we have a very big social media presence too, and GSD has an incredible social media presence. It all comes down again to your education. You know, he's talking about, like, you know, young students and stuff, and that's another misconception. Rock music is just a young people thing and a young kid thing, and you just break out of that because of fears. You would never hear that about soca. Soca is a phase. This is a lifestyle for people. You know, this is something that we live through. You know, so when we talk about promoting the music, I always come back to, as much as social media is something that's primary, when it is that you're in your car, why can't it be promoted through simple things like radios too? You know, you're not hearing local rock. When a local rock band is played on the radio in Trinidad, I don't know, everybody suddenly know about it. Hey, you hear this song on X station, it's like this big deal. You know, and to be quite frank, our music can't be played on radio. It's just too, you know, if you hear us at 11 a.m., something is wrong, right? So we know that. What the point is that there are such great rock bands that exist in the country. This band, Goodnight Parliament, one of my favorite local bands. I would see them live, and I always wonder why a band like that is not on air. As the caller is saying there, yeah, social media is there, the algorithm and all of that. But if you don't know about it, well, you wouldn't even know what to look for.
Yeah. We need to take a couple quick messages, but when we get back, we're talking a lot about what takes place at home. Let's talk about what's taking place outside of Trinidad and Tobago with our local artists and some of what they're promoting on the outside, some of what you've been able to achieve as well, to give a broader perspective of the possibilities that exist. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning on this edition of our country, our culture, we're discussing our local rock music as a viable product outside of Carnival.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
Welcome back. Just about 9 minutes before the top, news at the top then, of course, we continue our discussion still about 8:20 or so. This morning on our country, our culture, our local rock music as a viable product outside of Carnival. And that's outside of Carnival, outside of the country. You were talking about the proliferation of bands that we have, and what they're involved in. Tell us about some of what our local bands or local artists are involved in outside of Trinidad and Tobago.
Oh yeah, so I mean, so the main thing, so that guy was talking about social media before, which is a good avenue, but when we look at what bands can do, they are, like, because of the internet, there is no more borders when it comes to music distribution.
Mm.
You know, you can get fans all over the world with some clicks of some buttons, you know? You just need to know who to target. As Sivan said, although rock is a niche in Trinidad, it is a global phenomenon, you know? And even the bands down here, a thing that we do see is a lot of the bands go into niches of that global phenomenon. And within those niches, we have hundreds of thousands of fans within those niches all over the world. And I mean, Sivan could definitely tell you, like the extreme metal stuff that they do, the fans are literally rabid when it comes to that kind of music. And they, everything new that comes out, they're so intensely, passionately seek it out. You know, the opportunities for them to tour, for them to network with different producers and labels is just at the click of a finger. You know, it's just, the problem is the infrastructure, is the capital is not there to facilitate these opportunities, you know.
Remember, the focus of the show is a viable entity, a viable product outside of Carnival. How viable is it? What you're saying to me there suggests that it's huge.
Yeah, I mean, just think about the opportunity. So Lynchpin as a band, and I mean, if we're just looking from a state perspective at what can happen, I mean, all these guys are taxpayers, you know. They have a registered legal entity that can possibly pay taxes to the country. They could be generating millions of US dollars on tour selling their merchandise, because their merchandise sells out, right? Yeah. Selling merchandise.
That's interesting. It is very interesting to get an insight into this world. I'll tell you why. As I said, we've been having these discussions for a long time. Last episode, of the one before that, we spoke to Ziggy Ranking. He's well known. Ziggy's singing all over the place. People know him as a household name. And I asked him very pointedly, do people want to hear soca when he sings outside? And he said to me, he said to all our listeners, well, if Trini's in the crowd, yes. But other than that, he's forced to sing reggae. Because nobody wants soca on the out. It's not that palatable for, because they're always singing about stage and road and fat.
Yeah.
And people can't associate with those things.
It's just like, I was, so just touching on Martin, what you're saying, the, when you go, I'm not taking a swipe at anybody, but this is just my observation. I can't remember seeing a soca t-shirt, a soca CD, people like passionately running to get that. You go to a rock show, you come to any of our shows, I could only talk for like our shows. We have to reprint merch and do merch every show. People buy out our stuff. In other words, they're not only coming for the music, but they're coming for that brand. They want to identify.
It's a lifestyle.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
It's a passion.
You know, we did a t-shirt the other day, and we did 150 for a show. And before the show, we only had like 60 remaining. And that was before the show. So we reached the show, we only had 60. We left the show, we had nothing. And at the end, the idea is that, yes, you're trying to make money, you're playing a show, you're performing, but you also have to interlink. This is a business too.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're saying, it's viable. It's very viable. It's just, how are you approaching this as a business? Are you just looking at it? I mean, I frankly, when I talk to younger bands and they talk about, you know, playing out and all that, I say, if it is you just want to play music, play in your band room. The second you step on stage and you're accepting money, you have to remember there's a business too. And you have to approach it as a business.
Mm.
So even like this whole drinking away and all that stuff, all those things have to stop. You're performing. You're coming out. You're performing on stage. From the time that you're accepting money and people want to buy a t-shirt, you have now become a merchandiser. So how do you, I mean, we would go to a show and I literally have our staff. You're paying our staff. How viable is it outside? It's extremely viable. Mm-hmm. We are heading to Canada to record and we're going to have shows there. And I mean, not to say you could use it, but the novelty of being a rock band out of Trinidad, worse yet, a metal band. You know, that extremity is something you don't find.
Well, I think what you'll have to also do is explain the different genres within music.
I think we'll have to get to that after the 8 o'clock news, because that needs some clarification in the minds of people who are listening into us. And I want to delve deep into some of the major events. that you all have been involved in. I was told of one in Germany that apparently is one a real big deal. Mm-hmm. And some of the things that happened there and some of the experiences and as well, I think you're heading to Canada.
We're heading to Canada
pretty soon, so it's fundraising for that. And that discussion about delving into the different elements that make up this thing we call the local rock fraternity. I want to know as well, how many rock bands do we have in the country?
Active
So active rock bands is at least 26 bands that through my last count, and those are bands that are actively playing and stuff, and there are about 15 more that are preparing to come out, because as Sean and I were now discussing in the green room, that it seems like it's a resurgence, like all these venues are like seeking bands to come and play in their shows. And I mean, I'm just talking about bands doing original music, because there are a bunch of bands doing non-original music, cover bands too, that may not have as much viability in terms of export, but definitely have viability in terms of the community down there.
And exactly what you said in the green room, you know, like they had a show the other day on a Wednesday in what used to be Kaiso Blues, and the crowd was a good crowd on a Wednesday night. It had three bands, and all the bands did really well at the door, and that is something that's really great, because you're seeing people coming out for these bands, these younger bands. It's not like any headliner band or anything like that coming out and it's like a big show. These people are coming out supporting this rock brand. And you have Kaiso Blues, which is a Kaiso house, which has become a rock home now.
Yeah.
You know? So you're seeing the viability. The problem is you're not people still on these stigmas, and that's what they need to get rid of.
We need to take a couple messages to take us up to the news, and then after that, of course, so we've got a couple minutes again to get some more information about the types of the various genres within this, and then I'd like to know, what do you all think is necessary for this to achieve much more than it is achieving at this point in time? Because you've highlighted to me in no uncertain terms that we can get there. I guess the question is how. That and so much more after news.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
This is the final hour of our show here this morning. Continuing with our discussion, our country, our culture, our local rock music as a viable product outside of carnival. Looking at a message sent in here. Let me just get to this message. They're saying, hi, listening to the interview with Lynch Penn this morning, and I just wanted to say that I listen to both soca and metal, and there is definitely a space for both music. Trinidadians are so afraid of anything that we don't understand that it's usually seen as devil thing, but local rock is amazing and should be promoted. Keep sending your messages to 306-1065. Before we went to the break, we were talking about the various elements that make up the local rock fraternity. Tell us about those.
Well, I guess rock on the whole is a spectrum. So, I mean, just the name itself kind of gives you, it's hard rock, you know. So you have soft rock, you have bands that play soft rock, you have
pop rock,
you have rock and roll, like old school rock and roll, traditional, we call it. And then you start moving into like heavier genre. You have alternative, you know, indie. We have a lot of indie bands coming out now. Yeah. Nice indie bands coming out these days. St. James,
Narrows,
you know, indie bands. And then after that, you start moving to the metal spectrum. And again, by the name, it's heavier, you know. So you have traditional metal. I guess you'll hear like Iron Maiden and stuff like that. Then after that, you get into the Metallicas and stuff, which is like more thrash metal. We have a really good thrash metal band in Trinidad called Clavium. Went on a couple of tours. Then after that, you start getting into even heavier. So you have like bands like play like death metal, I guess wheel class, going into death metal, progressive death metal style. You have bands like Beyond the Animus, who's playing a more genty, Mindscape Laboratory, a more genty style. So across the spectrum, it really reaches you in terms of how you feel, what you think.
From radio friendly to scary.
Yeah, I mean, you have radio friendly, and then you have like us, we're really heavy. I remember a time somebody asked us, why would we play death metal? I was like, we're from Trinidad. You just read the news. You know, that's literally the world that we're living in. You know, we're seeing our realities. And I think some people don't want to face those things. You know, when they label soca, they say, oh, it's a happier music. I was like, well, yeah. And as we rightfully said, you know, Carnival is in a bubble. Trinidad lives in that bubble. But to break out and realize that rock music for us is every day of the year,
mm-hmm.
you know, and is a lifestyle, is a idea, is an ideology. So, I know when we talk to our fans, and same thing you said, you know, we have a lot of rock fans. In my band, I have bandmates who they love their soca. They go and enjoy soca. They went just here to see Sting, you know. So you have all the music could meld, but why should it be isolated, you know? And that's something that still troubles me.
I think from the discussion that I've had, it's clearer and clearer that there are some people who pull these strings. They are of an opinion of what this country's culture should be, yeah. and they foist that on the world. As to whether or not we get the kind of results because of that, I doubt very much. And the discussions, I spoke to Anselm Douglas. He's one of our most successful artists who let the dogs out everywhere in the world.
Yeah.
That song has been able to touch somebody somewhere somehow. And he lamented the very same thing, that there are so many nuances that make up who we are that aren't given the kind of attention or support that results in, you know, some sad situations. Speaking about what took place or what takes place outside, there's apparently something very large that happens in Germany, a festival of some sort.
Wacken.
And you all were a part of that.
Yeah.
Tell us about the experience.
That was 2016, right?
2016.
Yeah. So like, so in 2016, well, building up to 2016, they had, so all over the world, there's a tournament that happens every year that you get to compete in, and the winning band gets to go and represents that part of the world in a festival called Wacken. Wacken is 70,000 people. It's a small town in Upper Germany.
They literally close off the town to have this festival.
Yeah, right. The town closes down and it's like people just populate there. And for years now, we were trying to figure out how come we don't have a Caribbean version of it. And suddenly in 2015, we saw a promoter from Suriname said that, you know, he, Jerry Ori, said that they'll be hosting the first one. And that year, two Trinidadian bands qualified to go to the competition. We went to Suriname, we competed, and we won. And when we won, we got to go to Germany, and we got to be the first metal band from Caribbean get to play in Wacken, which was not just an incredible opportunity and incredible memory, but it changes you. You know, you don't come back the same mm-hmm. because you're now seeing things that we as Trinidadians say that's the norm, and you go up there and you realize it's not. It's not. That's just a Trinidad norm. And you come back really starting to reshape things that you see. You're trying to put it here and say, right, why can't it be like this? Why can't we do this? You know, like we take a lot of pride in not having Trini time in a show. Because when we go up there, we realize this is clockwork. Mm-hmm. They tell you, it's a machine. They tell you have to be on stage at that time. That's not a joke. You know, and all those things are things that happen because a touring and coming out, you know. I refer to Trinidadians as hobbits a lot. You know, we stay in Trinidad and we believe that what everything we do here is correct. And having more bands get to go out there. So like Germany was an incredible thing. I mean, I remember, and we have a picture of this. When we went, well, obviously they greeted us and stuff and it was really nice. It was incredibly cold. They were laughing at us too because we were in hoodies, gloves. We were like cold. And these guys were in tank tops and shorts, right? And they carried us up and they told us, you know, it's so incredible that our band from the Caribbean, they never knew Caribbean had rock, much less death metal. And they said they want to show us something, and they had everything in alphabetical order. And our box was right next to Iron Maiden. And I was like, we should retire. You know, this doesn't make sense, you know. And to get that opportunity made us realize that we are suffocating. We are suffocating artists down here because they have incredible artists. I mean, they have local bands that doing things for years. And you could see that suffocation happens. You know, Marty sees it on a daily basis, and it doesn't rock, but you can see the subgenres, you know, hip hop and all of that. And they don't have an avenue, they don't have a voice.
Do you think we can create a product that can be an annual thing where just as people go to Germany, we can have, I don't want to say a Trini version, but probably a Caribbean version, something that the rest of the world is aware of that we can have here at home that can turn into a tourist generator, a yearly, annual event?
No, well, so in terms for rock, yeah, definitely. I mean, one of the other companies, I did start GSD Productions. We've been negotiating and trying to set up something like that for a number of years. Just looking for the right corporate partners to do it, because of our connections, we're able to bring sponsors on to do rock music, you know. But yeah, it's very easy because all over the Caribbean, Trinidad has looked at as the hub for rock. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody from everywhere else in the Caribbean want to come to Trinidad to do a show, want to work with our producers, want to work with our engineers, because they believe that, like, we're the New York of rock music, yeah, in the Caribbean, you know?
Just the other, I mean, just a touch, Sky Festival, mm-hmm, which was that's our festival that happened every year until COVID.
Mm-hmm.
That was like a big hub. We had lockdown back in the day. GSD threw some incredible shows yearly. So they're like cross with like things like kickboxing,
MMA.
And I don't want to put out your business, but I mean, we had a band that we're dealing with from Guyana that we're bringing down for our show.
Right.
And from the time they started to speak about they're going to record and stuff, the first person they asked is if I knew Marty, you know, his name. They know his name over there. And I said, yeah, and I contacted them, and they're doing his mixing and everything. So therefore, it's a hub. We have a hub here. You know, we have bands from Guyana, Suriname, French Guyana, all of them coming across to play. We going across there. This happened because of Wacken, like dominoes started to fall. We realized we are not that far. You know, we have Lynchman has a good rapport with things like Cal, you know, so Caribbean Airlines, and we've been hopping around a lot. And I think when you get to take a step back and you see what's been built, the question that you asked there is correct. Yes, we could have a festival, but then is it coming out of pocket? You know, who's the corporate entities that are going to back it? And then some corporate entities will say, well, you know, maybe we shouldn't have Lynchpin there. That's not radio friendly. You know, so you kind of have to meander around those things.
I'll give you an experience that I had. In my career in the media, I've been able to witness several things. And I had worked for another station many, many years ago, early in my career.
Not to be mentioned.
And there was a program advisory committee that worked with all the various departments to come up with events and this and that and the next and the other. And we came up with a concept called Curry Duck Competition.
Mm-hmm.
The very first one had 6 participants. We had to struggle to get people to take part. People, family who in the station, we had to encourage them because the whole thing looked like it would have flopped. 6 participants, and it was virtually, it could have been described as a failure. The second one was held at a beach on the East Coast, and it had traffic for hours the very next year. So it shows that once people see what is possible, it blooms, it mushrooms, it explodes. Surprised that there are people who want an opportunity to come and experience for themselves what is this all about, but they don't have it. Or maybe they don't know about it because it's not getting the kind of support, the kind of promotion, the kind of media coverage or whatever kind of coverage that you need to send that message outside there. Takes us to the other part of our discussion. What do we need now for all of this good work, for all of this great music and talent and artists and band and everything else to find their own space, to get the recognition here at home first, as I assume, and then take that to the international community?
I think it starts with radio airplay. As one of the first, because the thing about it is that, like, right now, a lot of people on this radio station may have never heard or even known that there is rock music in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And if the radio stations, I think, take the chance and start putting out local content, it will make people more aware that they actually exist in this country, and therefore you'll start to gain attention. After that, then you could start promoting a rock event or a pop rock event or a death metal event, you know? It starts with people having to know that this actually exists. You know? Anybody want to take any?
Yeah, no, I think definitely, yeah, media infiltration is kind of the main crutch that happens in the rock community. We do not have that opportunity to express ourselves in the media because the stigma is associated with it, and you know, it may not be financially viable from some of the grassroots bands, but then if you look at some of the like community leaders, you definitely, I mean, there's a no-brainer. Why wouldn't a large brand just say, hey, Lynchpin, we see that you get, you can generate X amount of dollars at a show. If we put X amount of extra money into it, we can then expand our reach and reach a whole community that has been neglected, and the ability to infiltrate a market for pennies on the dollar, what it would have been to go in a soca fest and compete with 10,000 sponsors on that event. If I come to Lynchpin and say, all right, Lynchpin, you can get 2,000 people at your event, great. I'm now going to be exposed to these people that never saw my product before. So why? It's just why, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when people use us as the example, I chuckle because we, as I said, we are a death metal band. You know, we're not supposed to be palatable. You know, we are the extreme. The difference, the only difference with
I
us.
I second that.
Yeah, because, I mean, you come to a show and you're going to, more likely, it's just, it's a Saturday. And when we're done, it's more likely church for people on Sunday. You know, and we market ourselves. That's something we do, and I know we do well. And
very well.
What you're saying there, and what Marty is saying, everything is being said correct. But all is going to come down to also what we present as a community. Mm-hmm. That is honestly it. I know I get a lot of slack. I talk about original music. I always push that agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what, I stand by it. Not because of hatred towards covers. That's not the point. The point is that if it is that people play more original music and we have more original bands, the voice of the original community will get onto the air, more people wanting to listen to Trinidad rock music. Right, and Caribbean rock music for that matter.
Like my first band, Smith Tuttle, was one of the first bands that came out with basically strictly an original set in 1992, you know? And it ballooned after that because you had so many bands that started to jump on the original music scene, and that blossomed, and we started getting gigs and a lot of bars. And then they had certain events that started promoting festival-type cover bands. And then that took over, and that got all the sponsorship. So the original music scene got killed, right? So
yeah, and I would say, like, I'm a proponent for original music too, just from the fact that the publishing side of it.
And he's a great musician.
You can generate so much income from just owning your publishing and owning your songs that you're performing. You know, the CMOs down here definitely pay you for performing your own music. You know, you just have to be registered. And the venue is paying all these fees to the CMOs already. Why is not the
money passed on?
Yeah, the money has to go to the people who wrote the music. If you wrote the music, you're performing, you getting that money. You know, so it's kind of like we should be promoting more cover bands because then we
original bands
because we're creating more income for the locals in the community. You know, why are we giving all this income that you're paying all this money to these CMOs to be able to play music, play more local music, so let the money go to the local publishers
and more venues. Stop telling bands to play covers. I mean, you would not tell Bungie Garland or Marshall Montana to play a cover, right? That's one thing with soca people that I always say, wow, you go to a show, you want to hear that artist's music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you come to a rock show, you would hear in other shows, you hear somebody shout out, I hear this song, I hear that song, like with DJs on the stage. at our shows, you can't do that because you'll get berated. You know, I'm very vocal about it, and I promote bands, be vocal about having your voice for the people listening and for the people who never heard rock music. You need to experience rock music. 8th of July, we have a fundraiser. You can come and check us.
So tell us about the fundraiser.
So our fundraiser is really to help us with our expenses to go Canada. It's five fellas we're heading across Canada with one of the biggest metal producers in Canada. We're getting to record with him. And it's an opportunity that I don't think we ever thought. Marty is our producer down here, and he showed us everything that we know, everything that we learned. And always promoting us to push, like go and learn more.
Yeah.
Because when we learn, he learns, everybody learns. And what happens from that is that you're growing as an artist, and we're heading across to Canada as an opportunity. I know that my bandmates are relishing. And the opportunity is not just to go up there, but we want to really document by video and all of that and lives to let people see this is what we're here for. You know, people think you're going up there and it's a holiday. It's 3 weeks of hard work, you know, and I don't want people to think that it's just rocking. Like when people and our fans come out and they see us on stage, Marty would know and he could attest the kind of work that a band has to put in before hitting on that stage. Mm-hmm. You know, these performances are hour, but the work before that is months, you know. So the business aspect is something that, this is something that I want younger bands and even older bands to be able to embrace, that if it is that we are producing something, we need to produce an entity to represent it, and the shows have to represent it. I scoff at shows that start at 8 and will start at 10. That just doesn't make sense.
Mm.
And that goes straight across the border. That's not just for rock. That's, they had a soca fet, which wouldn't be named, just the other day. And all I'm seeing online is people complaining. And I was like, so why are you going to show this, what, the 8th version of this concert? But that is the problem. You wouldn't go to one rock show, but you'll go to the same thing and not get in. If I have a VIP ticket and I don't get in, some kerosene might come later, because that just doesn't make sense. But they had a really good a show the other day, and it was so good to see the cornucopia people, the kaleidoscope of people too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when people think rock, I mean, I hope we don't rub people wrong, but people saying, oh, Indian people and their rock music. I love our rock scene. It has no discrimination when it comes to any aspect, gender, sexuality, race, politics,
lunch,
age. It just doesn't exist. Rock and roll is a rebellion, and it feels like it's a constant rebellion, you know. Mm-hmm. When I see Old Mass and I see in Jab Jab, I say, how come rock music not involved in this? You know, this our aspect of our world is not different from yours. The only difference is the rhythm and the distortion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you listen to a soca band, you look in the back, it's people playing guitars and bass and drums too.
And it's the same rock musicians.
Yeah, it's more likely the same rock musicians doing it. You know, they have fellas like John Hussein, incredible guitarist.
Mm-hmm.
And he would go and have to play, he would play these Kaiso shows, and the man is just an incredible musician. But your heart is rock and roll. And that's something I want people to kind of get away from. And you're hearing, when you hear a rock person commenting, they still always say the word devil thing. You know why? Because that's the words we hear. We don't hear is devil music. We hear devil thing. You know, and that's just because of stereotype. But you're watching us and you have people running around red and blue blue devil costumes and telling us about devil thing. It just, to me, is a hypocrisy.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you from the conversation and from all the information you've put into the public domain, the potential is massive.
Yeah.
If tapped into in the right way. Well, we hope that the discussion is the beginning of at least some people somewhere somehow saying, let me find out some more about this thing. For persons who'd like to know more, to get more involved and so on, probably come to some of these shows, these events that you're talking about.
July 8th, Kaiso Blues. Come and help us get some money, please.
And where else can they find information?
You could catch us at Lynchpin TT on Instagram or Facebook. Feel free to message us if you need tickets and stuff. At GSD?
Yeah, so gscproductionstt.com. If you literally go to our website, we have a repository of all the rock music that's ever been produced in Trinidad of great quality. Everything remastered and put up there for free consumption.
More than likely because of Marty.
Yeah.
Mm.
So you can literally go listen to all the bands, get all your news, all your latest shows. We post every show that's happening. It gets posted on the site and gets posted on our social media. And, you know.
And that's a good example of rock musicians helping rock musicians.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Marty and then we'll take this music and produce it and make it sound better and put it up on our website for free. For people to benefit. For us to have a voice somewhere. You know, a point in place.
Yeah.
Which scours literally the Caribbean now.
Then you could also find me, Tie Dye Kitty, on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Tie Dye Kitty. I have a whole channel with a whole bunch of different things to do with the music industry internationally alongside my music, so you could get a lot of tidbits on how to produce and what the music industry involves and takes to produce yourself or anything like that.
Somebody just asking for you all to repeat the platforms.
Platforms, okay. So I am at Lynchpin, LynchPinTT, as in Trinidad Tobago, that is on Instagram and Facebook, hashtag Caribbean Brutality. So yeah, you can find us on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at GSD Productions TT on all the platforms as well. You can get links to our website directly on any of our platforms.
How's that? Check us on Spotify too.
Yeah.
And then mine is Ty Die Kitty, TIEDYEKITTY. You could find me on Instagram and YouTube.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you all for coming in. As I said, you know, when I proposed the topic, it was interesting, the response, and the discussion has been even more interesting.
Satish, just because you one of the things I wanted to ensure we do before we leave, Lynchpin said that anybody from Freedom wants to come to our concert, let us know. We'll drop some tickets for you all to experience your first rock concert.
Yeah, sure, appreciate it. I'm sure they'll be happy to have that. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But the discussion has been a real eye opener for me, and probably for many people listening to us as well, because of the scope and
the coherentness.
We live in a society where the entire world is in the palm of your hands, and that makes you all accessible to the entire world, and the entire world accessible to everybody who comes out of Trinidad and Tobago. That is a paradigm shifting development that I don't think enough of us, as musicians, as individuals, as business people, tap into. We still operate as if, you see, this little Trinidad and Tobago, that's the world for us. And you've shown us in no uncertain terms that there is much, much more that exists outside there, and that the possibilities are endless. I wish you guys all the best on your fundraiser and on your recordings and everything else. And maybe somewhere in the future we have another discussion again.
I hope so.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Satish.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.